Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week we have a guest that I had the absolute pleasure of working the James River Trail packet pickup with. And while there, I found out this woman is a badass. And I was like, man, I got to get her on. And so Dan Polskamp put me in touch with her. And so let's welcome in Carrie Edwards. Carrie, you ready to go for a run? Or should we
Absolutely
not bring
am.
that up?
I would run right now if I could.
Yeah, we're going to get into why Carrie would love to be running right now in just a few minutes. Carrie, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do when you're not out being a badass and all that good stuff?
I am the mother of two amazing daughters. My oldest daughter is 20. Well, she will be 21 at the end of May. She is over adulting at Longwood University. My baby is 19 and she is at Old Dominion University. So I started as a admin assistant. I had a degree in criminal justice, got a job at a general contractor when I was 21 years old, fresh out of college, and ended up working my way up to project manager. I work for Gilbane Building Company, which is a general contractor. We've got a location here in Richmond, Virginia. I believe there's 45 locations within the United States
Wow.
and five international. So my current position with Gilbane is operations excellence. So I go through each of the projects and do health assessments and assess risk on all of our various projects
Oh,
on
wow.
the Southeast.
Well, that sounds amazing. So you get to travel a lot.
I will get to travel. So I just transitioned into this role at the beginning of the year. So the travel is coming up and I'm looking forward to it.
That's
Various
awesome.
places, new places to run.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And that just means that you're going to be on your phone every time you get to go someplace hunting out these trails, isn't it?
Absolutely. I love all trails and run sign up and anything else. Just checking out Instagram and finding out where everybody else is running, asking questions and finding out where the good trails are.
That's awesome. Well, I have to say that I'm really shocked that I knew that you had two girls from our conversation, but I'm shocked that they're 21 and 19 because I was like guessing you were like in your 30s.
I wish I were in my 30s. I am
Okay.
47 years old.
There is no
But
way
they
you are
keep me young.
47 years
Yes,
old.
47.
Okay.
I
Wow.
attribute that to having fantastic kids that keep me young and just running and enjoying life, being outside and doing the things that bring you joy.
That is so awesome. Cool. Well, let's jump into running a little bit. Have you always been a runner, or where did this come from?
No, actually, in high school, I believe I topped out at about 180 pounds.
No
Was not
way.
happy with myself. I did start to run a little bit just to try to reduce my weight, around about college. I believe I dropped down to 150 pounds by the time I graduated from college. A few years later, you have kids, and up went that scale again to back to 190 pounds. And that was after giving birth to my girls.
Wow.
I bought a treadmill and I would get up every single morning before work. You breastfeed the baby and you put her back to bed. And then I would hop on the treadmill for 30 minutes to an hour. I'd go to work, come back home, take care of the baby, and hop back on the treadmill for another 30, 40 minutes. Drop down to, a happy weight, something I was comfortable with. But I did not actually get into running until I was 33. So
Wow.
that was definitely a later in life. And that was a happy accident. So a friend of mine, her son was unfortunately diagnosed with muscular dystrophy.
Okay.
And she had a lot of guilt. And, as parents, we're all about our children. That's your life. She needed something to help her cope. So she decided to sign up for the UCROPS Monument 10K. It's everybody's gateway drug here in Richmond, Virginia.
Yep.
So to train for that, she signed up for the YMCA training plan, which if you've not been a part of the program, it's absolutely fantastic. They do an amazing job. All the volunteer coaches, they spend so much time with every individual helping you accomplish your goals. She asked a couple of us, and I wasn't a runner, but I am a good friend. So I told her I would sign up and run it with her. And I came to every single training run, and I couldn't run half a mile that first week. But one of the things that brings you joy in running is doing something the next week that you couldn't do before.
Yeah.
So I remember how incredible it felt and empowering the first time I could really run a mile without ever stopping. And then it was 3 miles. And then I did that 10K for the first time ever. I think it was 2010
Okay.
without stopping. It was
Oh, that's
slow,
awesome.
but I did it, right?
Yeah.
It was amazing. So
That is so cool.
that same year I was actually diagnosed with hypothyroidism. It felt pretty debilitating at the time. Before you adjust your medications, there's exhaustion, there's more weight gain, and a lot of rage. I was
Okay.
33 years old and I was exhausted all the time. I would have my oldest daughter read to my youngest daughter because I literally could not stay awake reading a story.
Wow.
And I remember I woke up around midnight one night and my children were still up playing on the second floor with stairs. And I remember thinking, what could have happened to my 2.5, 3-year-old? She could have fallen down those stairs because I couldn't stay awake. So I went and got checked out, and they did diagnose me. But again, that anger, I internalized it to the point where, if I'm going to be tired all the time, I'm going to give myself a reason to be tired. And so I put that into my running. All the
Okay.
feelings that I was, the anger and rage at my 33-year-old body who couldn't even stay up past 7 o'clock at night. And the magic was I started to feel better. And yes, I was starting to take medications that were helping me feel better, but it was the endorphins that I was getting from running that made me feel alive. So I just started to go a little bit further and a little bit further. And then you start training for half marathons and somebody says, "Hey, how about a real race?" And I'm like, "Oh wow, the marathon. That's a huge jump. I do it's all I can do to run 13. You want me
Right.
to do 26?" But I'm not a quitter, so I said okay. And this was probably 2016. I signed up for my first ever marathon, and I used the Sports Backers Marathon training team to help me train for
Okay.
that. Again, fantastic program. The volunteers, the coaches are absolutely amazing. And they got me through that year. And I remember the head coach of my team at the time said, "You're going to start to feel muscle soreness. You're going to start to experience injuries if you do not strength train." So I got my first ever gym membership, did a lot of research online and figured out what runners are supposed to do for strength training. Then, of course, it just evolved from there where all of a sudden somebody says, "How about this 50K? How about this 50 miler? How about this 100 miler?" And you go from, "I will never run," to, "Huh, that 100 miler was pretty easy. I got to sign
That's
up for
awesome.
another one."
That is so awesome. And I've looked at your ultra sign up and I'm like, the progression here is like, wow. So your first ultra, was that the seashore or did you do one before that?
My first one was Seashore, and I'm sure you're familiar with that one,
Yep,
given you're
love it.
from Virginia Beach. That is such a spectacular race, and it is such a great race for a first timer.
Yeah.
So I signed up for my first marathon in 2016, and I knew I could do better.
Okay.
I finished that race, and I said, "I know I can do better." So I
Was your
signed
first
up for
marathon
Richmond.
Richmond?
Yeah, my first marathon was Richmond.
Okay.
So I signed up the next year for two. I signed up for Marine Corps and Richmond. And so I was essentially doing one in October, then in November. And someone on my team said, "You know what? You're in prime condition right now to run Seashore." And I was like, "What is Seashore?" And they said, "It's a 50K." And I was like, "Heck no." I was like, "Are you kidding? That's another 6 miles." I was like, "I'm not doing that." And so they browbeat me for a couple of weeks until I finally was like, "You know what? At the end of the day, Once I pass, I know I can run a marathon. Once I pass 26 miles, I can walk another 6 miles. It's fine. It just takes a long time. And so I went out there and it was such an amazing experience. The volunteers are spectacular, all the aid stations that were set up, and just being around all of those people who were suffering the same way I was. There were a lot of people from Richmond who attended from Sports Backers. So when you're doing a lot of those out and backs, you could see all of your teammates, you could see your friends. And there is definitely a competitive aspect to my personality. So a
No,
lot of
you're
my
kidding me.
almost all of my all of my friends are faster than I am, except once you pass the marathon mark. I learned something. I have something that some of the other people I know who are spectacular runners don't have, and that's the ability to endure and be patient. There's a lot of patience in running ultras, right? You just kind of settle in and you just do it. You just keep going. And there's that mental toughness that you develop. So you just keep going. So during Seashore, I kept passing all of the people who were finishing faster than I am, like all these 10Ks, half marathons, marathons, they're so much faster, but not today.
That's
Today,
awesome.
that day was my day. And I mean, I'd felt successful before, but it was this realization that maybe there is something that I'm really, really good at.
That's
And
awesome.
it's patience. I'm very
Yeah.
patient.
I'm looking at your 100 milers. What happens to you in 100 milers? Have you ever not finished on the podium of 100 miles?
I actually have finished 6 100 milers. My first two that I was signed up for went virtual. So they're not even on Ultra sign up.
Yeah,
So
same with me.
I did, I was signed up for Dogwood. We all love Dan Pulse Camp. It's in March. And again, that's when things shut down. I had spent so many months training so hard for his 24 hour, because I was determined I was going to hit 100 miles during that race. And I had a couple of other friends who'd been training with me. So it was so heartbreaking when he canceled the race. And I didn't accept that. I was going to run it by myself. And even if there wasn't a race, I trained for it and I'm going to do it. So I got permission from Powhatan State Park. The park ranger there was a really good friend of mine, and I asked if I would could be allowed to run in the park overnight. So he gave me permission, and there was a 10 mile loop, because again, that was my home turf, Powhatan. Used to go out there to run all the time. So I picked a 10 mile loop and ran that several times, kind of deviated throughout the night, did a little bit of road, just to stay close to my car because that was my aid station. And I did my first 100 miles at Powhatan State Park 100% by myself.
That's awesome.
I had
And what
my
did you finish in?
ex-husband, oh, 21 hours and change. I will have to go and
Wow.
put that back up.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think I had about 7,000 feet of gain overall, which, for 100 miles is absolutely nothing. It didn't feel like nothing at the time, but I look at it now, I'm like, yeah, that's chump change.
So you ran
But it was
this,
hard.
your car was your aid station, nobody there to pace you or crew you or anything, right?
Correct. So again, everything had shut down for COVID and nobody knew what that meant. So there was not a single friend who would come out and join me, not even at a distance. My ex-husband stopped by one time at lunchtime to bring me some ice. And I believe he made me a quesadilla. Dan and Luce stopped by just to cheer me on. Dan dropped off by some goodies, some granola bars, and I forget what else. So he was even though he was not able to run with me, he was a very great support system. He sent me a buckle, so I do have
Oh,
the
that
dog
is
ride 24-hour
awesome.
buckle.
Very cool.
Yes,
That's,
Dan's the
man,
man. He
Dan's
still
the
gave me a
man. He's
buckle.
awesome.
Yeah, he's fantastic. So then I decided I was going to sign up for the pistol.
Okay.
And the pistol also got canceled.
Oh my gosh.
So the following year, in 2021, I guess that no, it was 2020, I ended up doing my version of the pistol from a friend's house. We put a aid station in her garage. And again, it was still COVID, so no race, but a lot of people from sports backers were coming back and building that community again. So a lot of the coaches came out and joined me. I probably had 20 people who would go
Wow.
out and do laps with me. So it was a we
That's
did the
awesome.
10-mile loop from my friend Lynn's house. And I probably had 1 to 2 people every single loop. I had friends who ran 30 miles with me that day. It was absolutely spectacular. And again, that was another one that was about 21 hours. I don't know if you know Whitney Richmond. She came out and ran 20 or
Are you
30 miles
kidding?
with me that day.
Wow, you ran
Just
with a
a
celebrity?
I did. It was just such a great experience. But again, I was frustrated. 2 times now, I'd spent all of these months training just to have it not count.
Oh.
Yes, I did it, but it doesn't count.
Exactly. Exactly.
I signed up again. I was like, this is gonna be my year. I signed up for the Yeti, and thank goodness it did not get canceled. This is 2021. I had my boyfriend come out and he crewed me that year. Definitely went out a little too fast and felt that in my quads. Probably a mile 70. I remember thinking this is starting to hurt.
But there's a theme going on here. So tell us your finishing time.
21 hours and 3 minutes and 52 seconds. And
Okay,
the
because
only reason
I
I
just want
know is
people
I ended
to
up pulling it
take
up.
note of that. That's 3:21s. All right, so just keep track here on your fingers. She's only ran 600s. Okay, so far half of them are all 21. Just go ahead, keep going, Carrie.
Yeah. And again, it was spectacular, but you finish a race and I bask in it for all of an hour or two.
Right.
By the time I've taken a shower and I'm getting in bed, I'm cursing because, why did I stop so long at that last aid station? Why did I do this? Why did I do that? I remember seeing David Horton. He said, Carrie, and this was around mile 70 or so. He said, do you realize you're the third female? And I
Oh,
really wish
no.
he had not told me that at the time because it got in my head. And
Yeah.
somewhere along the line, everything felt so much harder. It's like, all right, in the future, don't ever tell me my place and don't tell
That's
me where
right.
I am.
That's right.
But up until mile 70, that is it's exactly where I was. And again, lots of lessons learned. I didn't fuel very well. It was in the 50s, and in my mind, I was like, 50 is perfect running weather. I don't need a coat. However, in that area in Abington, it gets so cold. And at mile 70, that's when your body, it takes a lot to regulate that temperature, and it
Yep.
feels like 20 degrees colder. So I was shivering, and it definitely impacted my ability to run that last 50K. But
Got it
yeah,
done.
all well,
21
all
hours
good.
again.
Yep, still great. So I was determined to go back and do the pistol.
Which
This
is
is the one
not
that
an
I was
easy
supposed to have
100-miler,
run.
by the way. I just have to say that. Right?
No, there's a lot of elevation. Was it maybe 10,000, 11,000? But again, it's road, and
Right.
that's why it feels so brutal. You don't have the opportunity to take those hiking breaks.
Yep.
The Yeti, sure, it's hard and it's flat, but it's still a lot of trail, which is so much softer on your body.
Yep.
So running the pistol with all the road was agonizing. It was very painful. The most painful part of that, though, was my decision the December before to train for a fast marathon. And I was like, well, I don't care about the pistol. I know this race is coming up. It's on the back burner. I'm going to qualify for Boston. And so
Okay.
I trained for a marathon. So my stomach went upside down at Myrtle Beach. I was right on that 820 per mile pace that would have gotten me a great qualifying time. And with my stomach upside down, I think I still finished sub 4 hour, but it was not a qualifying time.
Oh, wow.
And the next day, I'm like, holy crap, I have the pistol in 2 weeks and I
Oh
didn't
my
train.
gosh.
And I'm like, ah, oh, son of a bitch. So I had a pacer lined up this time. Again, one of the lessons learned from the Yeti is bring someone with you.
Yeah.
So one of my wonderful friends, we coached together at the with Sports Backers, Winnie Brown, she volunteered to go out to Tennessee with me. And I'm already apologizing. I'm like, Winnie, I'm so sorry. I was like, I didn't train. I have this pain in my glutes that has been there for months that I haven't addressed. I don't even know if I'm going to finish. And I remember saying she was like 1 mile at a time. She's like, let's just go out there. And my incredible boyfriend, Andy, he came out to crew us. He does such an amazing job. He's so spectacular. And I give him all the kudos in the world because he follows me during all
No.
of these races, never complains. He's always cheering me on. Anytime I start to do some sort of a whine, he's like, do you want a Reese's peanut butter cup? And all of a sudden, no more whining.
That's
So
awesome.
we're out there and we're running. And I think somewhere, and again, this is one where you pass a lot of people. So you don't really know where you are.
Right.
You don't know if you're first. You don't know if you're 300. And they've got all these races that start off at the same time. And you don't really know unless you're really paying attention to bibs, which I'm not paying attention. You don't really know who's doing the marathon, the 50K, the 50 miler. So it really wasn't even until around 70 that I kind of realized I was maybe fourth female,
Okay.
which was pretty cool. I didn't train for this. I'm in agony. I think I was in agony from, mile 30 on. But yeah, I'm still running. So, it's good. As long as you're moving, everything's fine. It started to rain. Temperatures dipped. I had the correct gear this time.
Awesome.
And all of a sudden, mile 80, I'm third female. And then
Wow.
I run past another woman and I'm second female. And Winnie joined me for my last 30 miles. So, again, she's also spectacular, such a great friend, a wonderful individual. And I turned to her. I was like, Winnie, I think I'm first female. And she was
No
like,
way.
just focus on the race. I was like, wait a minute. No. I was like, that woman that I just passed, like this one here. I was like, I think I'm now first. And she was like, yes, but keep going. And she's like, do you want to know the other information? I was like, what? She's like, if you keep at a certain pace for the next loop, the next 10 miles, you're going to PR. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, yeah, I've been trying to hit this sub 21 hours. I seem to be stuck at 21 hours. And she was like, well, you can do it. You just have to run. And I did my best to run those last 10 miles, intervals the best that I could. I barely eked in a PR, but I did come in under 21 hours. So I got a PR of like maybe 4 minutes, which I don't
That's
care.
awesome.
Still a PR.
That is awesome.
So it was 20 hours and 59 minutes.
That is spectacular at Pistol with the elevation and everything. And once again, we're right there, around that 21 hours. 21 hours seems to be your magic number.
Yeah, I even look at it doesn't matter what race I'm running, what the distance is. The consistency is kind of odd. I pulled open Damn Yeti, the 50 miler, because I was looking at something else and I was looking at my splits. And I ran the first marathon portion at exactly the same time as my second half. Both of them were
Wow.
about 4 hours and 30 minutes, and then the second half was 4 hours and 30 minutes, which is pretty darn consistent. I was
That's
like,
awesome.
it
Yeah.
ended up getting like almost 80 degrees that day. It was absolutely miserably hot, and But it was still a very consistent pace.
Yeah. I think consistency pays off much more than speed does. That's,
Absolutely. I've been
yeah.
called a metronome.
Yeah.
A lot of my racing buddies, just because I do have, once I hit whatever pace it is, if and it doesn't matter if it's an 11 minute, a 10 minute, a 9 minute, 8 minute, I usually hold right at that pace for the duration.
Yeah.
And it seems to apply even over 100 miles.
See, and that I think that's awesome. I think that's the way to run these long endurance runs is to have consistency.
Yeah. So I'll give kudos as they're due at the pistol, because you can put your tent right around that start and finish line and you pass your crew person. So
Okay.
as I'm passing Andy, I tossed him my hydration bag, my pack, my hydration pack, ran to, the start finish, came back through to the tent, and he had everything already ready for me to go. So I was only at my aid station for less than 5 minutes almost every single
Wow.
time. I think I changed my shoes
Oh, that's
one time at the
phenomenal.
50-mile marker just to apply some additional Tri-Slide and Aquaphor. And yet,
Okay.
not a single blister that day, not one.
That's awesome. Wow. On roads for 100 miles.
Correct, right.
Yeah. That's phenomenal. That's very impressive. So your next 100 was Hennepin, right?
Yes, I'd heard excellent things about that race, but what I really wanted the most was that flannel. So
Okay.
I paid a lot of money and ran 100 miles for a running rabbit flannel.
Yep.
But I love that flannel.
There you
It's
go. That's
spotless and it's
awesome.
such a great flannel. So
Yeah,
I signed up for a banana and a flannel.
that's awesome.
I've trained really hard for the Hennepin. And I will say, I don't know if I overtrained, but around mile 15, my quads were hurting.
Okay.
Absolute agony. I was in pain from mile 15. And the thing about running these longer distances, you start to do the math, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have 85 more miles to
Yeah.
go, and my legs hurt already. Like, how am I going to run another 85 miles when I'm struggling at mile 15?
That's right.
But amazingly enough, it just happens. You just keep going, you just keep pushing, and maybe a little bit of, I don't use Tylenol very often or leave during my race, but I certainly did. I called Andy and said, hey, when I come to the aid station, this is what I need. And the first thing I told him was, give me some Aleve.
No.
I heard him saying, what? He was like, you don't
Nope.
take that until mile 60 or 70. I was like, give it to me now.
That's funny. So it
So,
sounds like Andy's really got this whole crewing thing totally dialed in.
yeah, that man is definitely my ride or die. He was a or is a Marine. He is a Virginia State Trooper. He has that team mentality. Plus, he loves me, and it's all
Yep.
about watching me succeed and making sure that I'm doing the best that I can do. Going into Forgotten Florida, there was a part where I was just like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. 50 miles out of 100 sounds pretty good. And he said, we didn't come here for 50 miles. We came here for
Awesome.
100. And
Awesome.
it's his steadfast belief in me sometimes that absolutely will get me standing up and continuing to just keep on pushing.
Yeah.
My
Well, did you
daughters do the
watch
same
Meg
thing.
impressed? Because it sounds like Andy's totally got you dialed in, knows how to get everything right in the right place. Because when you're switching out packs for people when you're crewing them, you got to get stuff in the right place because you're grabbing it as you go. So yeah, I'm impressed with Andy, I will tell you that.
Oh yeah, he's absolutely spectacular. Again, you can be successful when you're running solo with no crew, but having a crew, having friends, having someone who knows you, someone who's cheering for you, someone who knows when to say the right things and when to just say nothing at all is incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
On these 100 milers, it helps so much to have a pacer, somebody
Yeah.
who's just there. They don't even have to say anything, they just need to be there, and that encourages you to keep going.
Yep. Awesome. So
Yep.
Hennepin was
So,
a success. You finished despite having pain at 15. And
yeah.
how many hours again?
21 hours and 44 minutes.
There's that 21 again.
I swear, one of these days, I know I can do it. I'm going to get into the 19-hour mark.
I
Like, this
can't
is
wait.
a
I
goal.
know you're
I'm
gonna do
going
it.
to
So
do
then last year you went down to Florida and ran Forgotten Florida, which, oh my gosh, that must have been, you're crazy. That's a hard race.
That was so hard. Oh my gosh. So it was absolutely beautiful. The first 20 miles were just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, the whole race is beautiful, but we didn't have so much mud the first 20 miles. So in my head, I was, yeah, this is going to be an easy one. Yeah, I'm here to PR. This is going to be spectacular. And then the rain that was never ending. The mud that was soul sucking and just the constant, I felt beaten down by the fact that I couldn't run anything.
Right.
There was so little that was really runnable just because the water was knee deep at
I was going
almost
to
all
say, because water,
times.
you did you ever get out of the water?
Never, never. The mud. That sometimes it was up to my thigh. Like I could
Oh
not
my.
pull my leg out of the mud, or it was just ankle deep the entire time. But either way, I couldn't get a good running start, and I really didn't know how to make it through the mud.
Right.
Concerns over losing my shoes. So
Yep.
because the weather and the conditions were so horrific, Sean Blanton had offered to all runners. For those who are doing the 100 miler, if you want to stop at 100 miles, you will not DNF. We will give you a finish time. You will not get a medal because we don't have enough, but
Right.
it will not be considered a DNF.
Wow.
That is probably the closest I've ever come to almost saying, sounds good. I'll take 50 miles.
Yeah.
And if it were not for Andy, I probably would have. And I sat down and said, well, I'm at the 50-mile mark. I don't have to go on. It's still a finish.
Yep.
And like I said earlier, he looked at me, he said, we didn't come here for 50 miles. He said, you will regret it tomorrow. He was like, I'm not letting you do that.
That's awesome.
And so he changed my shoes for me. Well, technically, he took my muddy shoes off, changed my socks to reapply, the Aquaphor and the Tri-Slide. And then put my muddy shoes back on because there was no point in changing shoes. Everything was
Exactly,
just going
because
to
you're
get
just
muddy
going to
anyway.
be muddy again.
I was like, it doesn't even matter, Andy. It's all muddy. And again, there's always hope. There's hope that in the next 50 miles, it'll be easier.
Right.
Maybe it won't be so muddy. Oh, hell no. It was worse because now it was dark. And
Yeah.
that second section, there are a lot of places where you can go off course. And thank
Right.
goodness I had the navigation feature downloaded onto my watch
Oh,
because
wow.
I several times went off course and I needed to follow my watch to get back on course to figure out where in the world I was. And again, the volunteers were great. There were three gentlemen out on that course who we passed multiple times because they did not do the out and back. And there's nothing I hate worse than a cheater. However, I did pass them on the last 10-mile section with my very amazing pacer, Ed. Again, he was that individual who says, just keep putting one foot in front of the other. You're
Yep.
doing great. Everything's fine. You're going to keep on going. My watch died. And I was like, how much longer do we have, Ed? He was like,
Yeah.
focusing on how much longer, but just making sure I was eating, making sure I was drinking. I've got asthma, so it was
Yeah.
checking on me. Hey, how's your breathing? Everything going well? So he was absolutely amazing.
That's awesome. And you finished third.
And I finished third female.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. Now you broke your string of 21, so you got to sign up for 100 as soon as you get healthy again and get right back on that theme park. But I like the sound of 19. I'm just going to be
I
honest with
do as
you.
well. Forgotten Florida was 26 hours and 24 minutes. And I will say it's a bit of a mind punch when you think you're going to finish a race in 20, 21 hours and it takes you 26. So it's hard to reset that mindset mid-race and to accept that this is going to take an even longer time than you anticipated.
So, Carrie, how, now I'm glad you brought that up. How you're phenomenal at these 100 milers and stuff. How do you set your mind on, getting into the pain cave, getting through the pain cave, and just, staying consistent with your mileage? Because you seem to have a really good mindset.
I'm actually an incredibly impatient person. I'm that individual who's in the mall trying to get around people. I get road rage walking behind people. But when it comes to these endurance events, I do seem to have a lot of patience. And it's just a constant reminder like, hey, this is 50 miles. This is 100 miles. This is going to take a long time. There's zero point in looking at my watch to see what my pace is because pace is irrelevant. What's relevant is keeping your heart rate low, looking around at the scenery and trying to enjoy the moment. At night, it's just listening to the silence, finding anything and anything at all that can pick your mood up. If you start to feel tired, it's reminders to yourself. If I'm feeling tired or if I'm starting to get these negative thoughts, did I hydrate? Did I eat enough? What can pick me up out of this mood? And I've been very fortunate in Andy also monitoring all of those things for me. He takes note of how full my hydration pack is when I come into an aid station. He's like, hey, your hydration pack is still halfway full. It shouldn't be. You didn't drink enough. Or, hey, why are your pockets still full? You didn't eat enough.
That's
And
awesome.
it's all staying up on top of that. I think so many people, when you start to slip, it just leaves that door open for negativity and the opportunity to quit. And once you get tricked into sitting down, once you get tricked into you have plenty of time, that's when you're falling behind the clock. And that's when you're more likely to choose not to get back up out of that chair because it hurts. And you have to accept everything's going to hurt.
That's awesome. I love the mindset, and especially the learning to be patient and realize, okay, it's going to take a while. So yeah, don't get impatient right now. That's cool. So
Yes, I'm
let's
not that person running 14 hours, so it's going to take a while.
Exactly. So let's jump into, so Carrie's just cruising right along, and you had a race. Did you have a race that was coming up here soon? You were supposed to do Virginia 24.
Yes, I was going to do the Run for Cancer. A friend of mine just beat cancer. So I thought it would be a great opportunity for me to get back out there. I really had not trained properly for running 120 miles, but that was kind of my long goal. That was my A goal. How close can I get to that qualifying time for the USA team? Am I going to hit 120? No. But I want to see how far I can go. Like, how close can I come to that
Because you
qualifying
haven't done a
mileage?
24-hour yet, have you?
I have not. I have not. Just the 100s. So I think I can get to 110, maybe 115, but I don't know because I've not crossed that that 100-mile barrier yet.
Yeah, and the 24. I mean, because the only race where you've gone more than 24 was Forgotten Florida, and that was some miserable conditions that caused that. Because, if it hadn't been, knee deep and thigh deep mud, I'm sure we would have seen another 21 or sub 21. So, yeah.
I'd like to think so. I mean, I'm pretty strong, and huffing through all of that mud, it definitely took a lot out of me. But for 26 hours, there was mental frustration and fatigue, but I was not particularly tired. So Ed and I actually ran. As soon as it got less muddy the next day in the morning, there was probably like the last 4 or 5 miles or so, we ran that.
That's awesome. So I would love to see you in a 24-hour, setting. Because I think you're gonna rock that timed race, and I think you could lay down some really big miles.
I mean that is definitely the goal. I did the Piedmont 8 hour in Powhatan. I had my kids out there crewing for me and cheering for me. And I ran about 45 miles in 8 hours.
Okay.
So I did that one, and I think there's a 12 hour MC broken ankle 12 hour that had a lot of elevation in it, and I got 50 hours in the 12 hours. I
So
want to
50 and
say like that
12
was
hours.
miserable. It was
That's with
like mountain
elevation,
trails.
that's phenomenal. So I mean that's awesome. But you didn't get to run Virginia 24 because you did something.
I did.
So
So
what
you
did you
should
did?
probably not go rock climbing and bouldering right before a race.
Yeah, why not?
So through Gilbane, which again, I work for the absolute best company. I love my company. I love my coworkers. Our executives are just so incredibly supportive. And one of the programs that they've instituted is it's a mentor mentee program.
Okay.
So I try to think outside the box. I don't want to be like everybody else. Everybody else is taking their mentees out to a nice safe lunch. Let's go have a beer together. It sounds great, right?
Yep.
Well, all of my mentees, they're in their early 20s. So a lot of them, pretty athletic individuals. So for my first mentee, a gentleman by the name of Trey, again, spectacular kid. Maybe not a kid, he's a little bit older than child, but so I was like, hey, here's a list of these things that we can do. And he chose rock climbing.
Okay.
So we went to one of the local rock climbing gyms in the area. I've been several times, not my first rodeo. And we'd been out there bouldering. We didn't even make it to, the wall with the auto belay. Like we were just bouldering for about 15 minutes. And I was trying to go upside down, try to make this a fairly easy handhold right up above me. And somehow I think I just got lazy. I took it for granted that of course I'm gonna grab it.
Right.
And I missed it and I fell. I didn't fall far. It was like maybe 5 feet. And darned if I didn't break my ankle.
Yeah.
Broke
And
it
you
in
could
two
tell right
places.
away. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I slipped on a pine cone last year and sprained my ankle. I knew that was sprained, it wasn't broken. This felt entirely, it was, I knew immediately it was broken. So everybody's like, just try and stand on it. I'm like, no, don't touch me. It's broken.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so I had to
Oh
get
my gosh.
up
How
15 minutes
frustrating was
in with
that?
my
That's
mentee.
crazy.
I took him here to rock climb and we're going rock climbing.
Yeah.
So he helped me, stand up, and I kind of did a little hop, skip, jump around to the belay, and I took videos of him the entire time. We were out there for at least another hour. I had to do the long walk. It felt like eternity out to my car. He was like, "Well, I hope you feel better tomorrow." I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna take myself to patient first." And yep, the patient first confirmed it was absolutely broken.
Oh my gosh. So,
So,
how long are you laid up? I mean, you're not laid up at all because we'll get into that in a second. So, but how long are you not running? Let's make it that, okay?
so I am 3 weeks in. They ended up doing surgery 2 days after I broke it. I've got a plate and 10 screws in there now holding my bones together. I've got a boot and some crutches, and they're guesstimating 6 weeks before I can take the boot off and maybe 8 weeks before I start running.
Okay. All right. We're going to start counting down time.
Yeah, more of this patience. It's all just being
Yeah.
patient.
I was going to say, so your 100-miler, patience is paying off, isn't it?
I would probably be going crazy if I didn't have other things that I like to do.
Yeah.
Yes, I like to run. I like being outside. I love the trails. I run the road with friends. That's, several days a week. Running takes up a big portion of my life. But the other things that I absolutely love to do is strength train. I know a
Right.
lot of runners hate going to the gym, but for me, I love it. I love feeling strong. I love being strong. I love looking strong. I've probably had a fairly decent physique for the last 10 years with no plans on having any of that change. So I'm merely substituting the time that I would have spent running, and I'm just hitting up the gym. All these
Awesome.
the last 3 years, I've not been able to go to the gym but for maybe 3 or 4 days a week. So I'm back to hitting the gym 7 days a week for two
Okay.
or so hours a day and loving it.
That's awesome.
I don't have to make the choice because right now, as busy I am, it's do I run or do I lift? I don't
Yeah.
have time for both. So I've had to make the choice to spend the majority of my time running. Well, now that I'm injured, I can't run. So the choice is out of my hands and I get to go lift. So, yes, I'd love to run and I do miss it, but it's not hurting my feelings right now that I can't do
Exactly.
it.
Well, and you're doing a lot of very focused strength training, aren't you?
Yeah, usually, again, as runners, when we do strength training, it's very specific to our sport, but I can't use my legs right now. I can't put weight on them. So everything that I do has to be seated or I have to be kneeling. I can kneel on the floor and do certain things. I have to be creative when I do legs. I can do a glute kickback. I can't use a machine, but I can put a dumbbell behind my knee and still lift weight. I
To
can put
get
a
that,
30 pound dumbbell back there and still do a really good focused glute activating exercise.
Yeah,
I can do
which is
clams.
great.
I can do leg lifts. There's more than one way to skin a cat.
Well, and can you imagine, I mean, all the shoulder work you're doing and the core work you're doing, picture in a 100 miler, if you don't have strong shoulders and core, you're all on your legs. So strengthening that, I think it's going to pay off in the long run.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I will easily say that I am a beast merely because I spend a significant amount of time focusing on my back and my shoulders. You just don't think about these things. And I'm sure you've noticed along, your longer races, at the end of a race, even your biceps hurt. Like, every
You're
single part of
like,
your
who would,
body
if somebody would have
hurts.
told me, like, when I finished my 6-day race last June, if somebody would told me that my fingers and my wrist would hurt, I would have thought, why? I mean, I don't use my fingers and my wrist when I run, and I'm telling you, they were like in agony for the first couple days after I finished, and I'm going, it's my wrist and my fingers. What is going on? And everything hurts. So,
That's why form is so important because you don't think about how you're holding your hands. You don't think about your wrist when you're running, shorter miles. But over the course of some of these longer 50, 100 mile distances, even that swing, and if you're flip-flopping with your wrists and your posture is poor, you're gonna hurt everywhere. So yeah, I mean, if you're carrying a hydration pack for 100 miles, you have to have a strong back, you have to have a strong core. And again, that could be why I have the moderate success that I do is just because I'm so strong.
And the consistency. So let me
Absolutely.
ask this question as we start to wind down. Would 190-pound carry recognize carry of today?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That individual did not have self-esteem. That individual had no idea of the things that she was capable of. I wish I could go back and tell my younger self that, hey, the things that you want for yourself right now, you can have them if you're willing to work for it. And again, at that stage in my life, I didn't know how. And I didn't even know it was a possibility. So how do you tell someone you can have these things when they're not educated enough on how to get there?
So
She'd be proud.
does the carry of today look at how you talk to your daughters differently than the Carrie of when they were younger? In terms
I'm
of
not.
possibilities, what's possible for them as young women of today?
So again, I've grown up with my children.
Right.
I've changed so much from the time that they were born. A lot of adversity. I've had a lot of other issues crop up, and just being able to be strong. And it's taken me many, many years also to learn that part of teaching your children, showing your children how to be strong is also showing them I'm not feeling strong. You have to
Yeah.
admit to your kids, hey, I'm scared right now.
Yep.
I did these things because I was afraid and I'm working through that. Or, hey, this is 100 miles. I'm struggling right now. I'm fighting. And they watch you fight through that. But
Yeah.
again, if you are always pretending to be so strong in front of your children and you don't let them see the moments that you do feel weakness, it's not allowing them to see that it's okay, if that makes any sense.
It totally
And that
does.
helps them
Yeah.
grow to be more self-sufficient, confident individuals.
Yeah.
Like it's okay to feel weak, it's okay to not always be strong.
Yeah.
And I think all my early years, I refused to ever let anybody see me be weak. And it
Yeah.
wasn't until someone else shared a story about suicide on how their child, the letter said, I can't be like you. I'll never be that strong.
Yep.
And that parent's horror.
Yeah.
And the message was, you have to let your children know that they're not going to always be strong. There are going to be times when you are very weak. There's going to be times when you're hurt. There are going to be times where you have all this emotional turmoil. And that's okay to feel that way.
Yep.
But we keep getting up, and I'm
Yeah.
here for you, and everybody's here for you. Your friends are here for you, and how we all get to continue forward on this path, and how to grow, and how to change, and how to evolve. And you can go from being this person to being this new person.
Yeah. I
So.
told somebody one time that the one of the reasons that I love the ultra running community is because it finally gave me a glimpse into the I don't have to appear as if I'm so strong. I can show that I'm weak. I can admit that I'm weak, but I can admit that I'm weak and show that I'm weak with the perception that there's other people that are going to help me through that moment and get me to the finish line. And that's one of the things that I absolutely love about the, ultra running community is you can show your weakness. Think of Courtney DeWalter. All right. Nobody ever thought Courtney DeWalter would ever drop from race. Well, she dropped from Cocodona because she realized she didn't have it. And to me, that makes Courtney DeWalter more of an all-star, than less. Because it's okay to show your weakness and go, okay, I overestimated that. So, let's go back to the drawing board and figure out how to do that, which is Courtney's thing. And I'm totally confident that she'll run a 200 miler and absolutely kick its behind because that's what we learn in the ultra running community.
Yeah, just keep getting up. I mean,
Yeah.
that's definitely something I hope I've passed on to my children. It's just over the last 47 years, it's not that I've not ever fallen down, but I haven't stayed there.
Exactly.
And there's always
Exactly.
going to be, you've got your friends, you've got family. Like my children will always have me,
Yeah.
and we're going to help you get back up.
Yep. That's awesome. That is so awesome. All right. So here's how we like to end every episode of Living an Ultra Life. So obviously the name Living an Ultra Life, and someday I'll tell you the story of where that name came from. But when you hear that name, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Living every day with a mental determination to just keep on going, to do what you previously thought was impossible, to constantly be or show that a level of determination and just keep moving forward and reaching for something that you didn't think that you could do before.
Yeah. That's awesome. Carrie, it has been such an absolute pleasure getting to know you a little bit more, through this chat. And from now on, I'm just going to call you Grit whenever I see you. So, if you hear somebody yell Grit, it's just me somewhere around. Because you are just gritty and you're tough, but you keep finding ways to just achieve more. And I'm excited about watching you after you get back out onto the running trail and everything, because I think the best is yet to come for you.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I'm gonna go find as soon as my foot is healed, I'm gonna find out whatever race you're running. We're gonna go run it together.
There you go. Sounds awesome to me. Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, Mike. Have a
All right.
good one.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultralife.